Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today is the final episode of January and I'll listen back to my favourite episodes of all time. Now, we have a lot of fun recording this podcast and I can't remember laughing and crying more than I did in this recording. They have one of the most popular podcasts in the UK, Shag Married Annoyed, as well as their own TV show, and of course, their two boys, Robin and Rafe. They've become close friends, and I absolutely adore them. It's Chris and Rosie Ramsey. Welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest, well, I've got two, but I've got my first married couple. I'm going to say you're both comedians, one in a traditional way, and yeah, the other one just makes me laugh into my phone hysterically.
It's Chris
and Rosie Ramsey!
Yay!
I would say you're both comedians.
Do you think, does that annoy you, Chris, as an actual comedian?
No, not in the slightest, no.
Sure. You are a funny person, you make people lol.
Yeah. I take it.
As a job.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. But David Walliams classes himself as a comedian. He's never done stand-up, so there you go.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks.
Very boringly, I once heard that the difference was comic. A comic is someone who does stand-up. A comedian is someone who makes you laugh on telly or something else.
Oh, really?
I'll be putting it on my CV.
There we go.
Just don't put comic.
Because G said it.
Don't put comic or we'll get divorced.
Comedian by Giovanna Fletcher. She has her stuff.
So how are you both?
Good, we're very, very good, thanks, yeah. Happy Wonderful. To be here, thanks for having us.
Are you?
Yeah, really happy.
And you're used to all this like podcast stuff now because you've got your own.
Yeah, we have got our own, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going well. We get that really awkward thing, you know, when we do it together, we're like, who's going to talk?
Yeah.
Who's talking first?
Well, I'm going to let you lead because I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to let you lead. You're sitting on the left. It's happy mum, happy baby. It's not happy dad, happy baby. I think I'll just take a back seat.
I'm not quite sure why you're here, actually.
Should I just nip out?
It's all right, you can stick.
Nice having, I think, a couple on because we've never had that. Like, it's two people together talking about, you know, becoming parents and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Oh, well, thanks.
You get to defend yourself a little bit.
Oh, God.
You know, not that much. I'll still love you to life.
So what were your childhoods like?
Well, actually, similar because we're from the same place,
but
different because I've got two siblings.
Yeah.
Chris is an only child.
Ooh.
So stories of growing up, they're really different, aren't they?
Yeah, Rosie likes to play a little tiny little violin for herself and her childhood. Do you know what I mean?
Never had my own room. Never, ever.
And they've had her own room.
Until I was 18 and my sister moved out. Oh. It's the first time. Whereas Chris had one his whole life.
I had two.
Do you know what I mean? You had two?
Two rooms.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Sometimes I used to sleep in the spare room as well, just because why not?
Wow. That's so selfish.
You just turned your mic off when I said that. You should just took that as a moment to turn our mic off. Well, nick a couple of decibels on that.
Middle child syndrome.
Gee whiz. Unbelievable.
Can't hear myself above all these people.
Unbelievable.
Terrible.
Can't hear myself above the droning tragedy of my childhood. Pathetic.
So yeah, different childhoods. Yeah. But lovely all the same.
Yeah, we knew each other. We met when we were about 13, 14. That was the first time we met each other, genuinely. Right. Yeah, we met in the street.
What were you doing?
Playing out.
Playing out.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, so Rosie and our friend were coming round to see the bigger boys around the corner who Rosie's friend was going out with. Mm-hmm. And we sort of passed in the street and they'd come and stand with us for a bit. It must have only been a week-long period. I always remember, I thought, she sleeps with her sister, loser. That's who hasn't even got her own room. Yeah, her. She smelled like damp washing to you. She did smell like damp washing.
Hey, we can't be talking to her. Oh, no.
But yeah. And yeah, and then really, we've orbited each other, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all, like, now we still live in the hometown where we both grew up.
Is that something you talked about? Like, was that a big decision to make? Or
kind of just happened because we both worked away from home a lot since, well, me from 18, you doing comedy from about 21, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then we were both home living at the same time. And it was just kind of like we just stayed. You know, houses are a lot cheaper.
Yeah. We've got child money.
Yeah, childcare on the doorstep, yeah. You know, so we've just stayed.
One of our favourite things to do of an evening in the house is turn on an episode of Location, Location, Location. But when it's a London one, it's like comedy for us.
It's great.
It's really? London. We'll pause it. We'll go, 3-bed semi, 700. Rosie, come and see this. Just pissing myself laughing.
We walk around the house going, yeah. Look at this. It's great.
It was when we did the Sarah Cox show, and Sarah Cox said, "You still live up north, don't you?" And we were like, "Yeah, how does she know that?" And she went, "Yeah, I listened to your podcast and you said the back living room." And I thought, yeah, they still live in the north.
I don't know if you know this, we live on a street where I used to walk through when I was younger from my old house to go to the shops, and it was the really posh street, and I was like, I'd love to live here.
Aww.
It's cheap as chips though. Yeah. I say posh, I mean, it's not that posh. It's posh for where we live.
It's posh for where we live.
So how old were you when you officially got together?
It was literally New Year's Day 2013 was when we officially started going out.
That's it. There you go.
New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. I held off just so it would be really easy to remember. Wanted to get married on Christmas Day. That didn't pan out. So we got together that day. So it'll be, yeah, whatever the maths is on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what the maths is on that thing. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, 6 years. 6 or 7 years-ish.
Something.
So then how old are we?
Anyway.
Oh, I've got a nosebleed. Apologies to all your listeners. That was tedious. That was a northern man trying maths. Heavens above.
Oh God.
I nearly passed out there. I'm seeing spots.
So after passing each other on the street all the time and hanging out as kids, how did that happen? How did that transition happen?
Well, we then went to college, mm-hmm. And I sat next to your boyfriend.
I mean, you wouldn't think how you went to college.
I sat next to her current boyfriend in maths, no. Believe it or not, in bloody maths. I mean, I quit after a couple of months. I sat next to your current boyfriend, and then I remember
when I was there. Not the time. Now.
Not your boyfriend now. No.
I have a boyfriend too.
Yeah, I don't know him. I've never met him.
I'm
so I hear him leaving at night sometimes. He slams the gate. But then we got together. We knew each other. We'd walk past each other in the corridor at mm-hmm. college, wouldn't
we? Used to say hello, didn't we?
Used to say hello. Mm-hmm. Even though it was weird. We've talked about this. Even though we weren't mates, we didn't really know each other. We'd only spent that time of knowing each other when we were younger, but there was always a, hey, hello. Mm-hmm. And it was like, hey, hello. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And then, I came back from a tour in 2012, and then I met you again, and then that was that.
We kissed in a mutual friend's garage. So that was
Why
nice.
Why the garage?
Why the garage? I
Why
don't know.
Why the garage? Because we'd been on a night out and we went back to his mum and dad's house because he lived with his mum and dad at the time, and we were drinking and we were in the garage because I think the living room was too loud or something. We're in the garage. I don't know why we're in the garage.
I know their garage, actually. It's a little bit like done out. It's like a little...
Oh, okay. Not a little, really
like,
a garage.
Bar. It's not like right. a garage next to the lawnmower type thing.
The main point is it was classy. It was classy and upmarket.
We we sound disgusted.
We are utter scumbags.
So sorry. It's such a lovely podcast, Giovanna. We have ruined it.
Scum. Utter scum.
It'll not be on.
Happy scum, happy baby.
Dear, fast forward a few years.
Yes.
And you start a family.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
So
yeah.
Was that something that you've already married by that point? So did you think like that's the next bit to do? Like, let's get on it.
We were one of them people that, this is going to sound really silly, at that time in my life, I'd only heard about people having complications to get pregnant.
Yeah.
So we'd been married for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was at the Christmas and we just kind of said, should we just not be as careful? You know, we knew we wanted children and we were like, should we just not be as careful? And I was like, it'll take like a year.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we had sex twice and I was pregnant.
It's so funny because Tom always says when we like first started trying for a baby, he was like, we're going to have so much sex.
Yes.
And I was straight away like, oh.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, sorry, now I don't want to touch you ever again.
No, and Tom's like, in pregnancy, he's like, no.
I'm the same. Really? I can't do it. Yeah, I don't like it at all. Yeah. It really upsets us. it really freaks us out.
Just nowhere near.
I don't like it at all. It's like there's a baby in there. Don't go jamming you. Oh, no. It's just, I don't want to even talk about it. It makes us feel all cold inside. It's like, that's his house. That's the baby's house. What are you doing?
Baby's house.
How good would you be if someone, if you just one door, you could hear the letterbox going and you look and there was just some guy sticking. It's not cool.
I mean, I'd be gutted, to be honest. I'd be like, get out of here.
Kicking you back. Yeah. Got a bit of a problem.
I'm totally with Tom on that. Okay. I find it, and I don't know why, I just find it weird. I don't know why. And it's this thing, it shouldn't be, but it's just once your partner becomes the sort of vessel for your child, you just want to sort of protect them and you just want to kind of, it's not like you don't still find them attractive because pregnant women's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Don't you? I look terrific. Don't lie to me. I didn't blame you.
Yeah, but other pregnant women are beautiful. I'm joking. Sorry, I'll do it. Oh, God, I'm walking home. Yeah.
You are thin ice, mate. Thin.
So how was that moment, though, when you found out you were pregnant?
Oh, we were on holiday.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's a long story. Right, so basically, we went to Dubai. I'd broke my foot. Well, I tore like the ligaments in my foot so I could hardly walk. Yeah. The weather was shocking. So we couldn't go for a walk. And then the weather was terrible, so we were just going to get drunk. And I took a pregnancy test, found out I was pregnant and we couldn't drink. So I was like, this
is... What can we do on this holiday?
Exactly.
Not have sex.
Nothing. It was purgatory.
We sat in red Kindles in our room.
It was so
and
weird.
It was horrible.
So yeah, so when the weather's bad on holiday, what do? You go for a walk. If it's Dubai, you go for a walk around the malls or whatever, or you get on it. We couldn't do either of them things.
No.
It was checkmate. It was a catch 22.
When your first time you're pregnant, you're like, what can I eat? Yeah. So I was Googling everything and I think you get so paranoid about it. So I was like, I can't eat that. Can't have that.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I was just eating chips.
Yeah.
Just...
We phoned your mum and told your mum.
Yeah.
We didn't phone my parents. We didn't really tell anyone. I told one of my mates and then it was like, congrats, all right, bye. And then it was just like sitting, what do we do now? Yeah. It was so strange.
But we were very happy, obviously. We were over the moon. So. But it was just a strange experience of finding out, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really strange. If I remember rightly, I was asleep. And you got up in the middle of the night to do a pregnancy test.
I had a really weird feeling, even though I thought it would take so long to get pregnant, just because we'd had unprotected sex, and I think I was late coming onto my period. And I just knew it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got up and I took a pregnancy test with me, and I did it, didn't I?
Yeah.
And it was one of those, you know, the ones where it comes on, like, tells you how far along you are.
Oh, I can only cope with that. I can't cope with the lines.
No, oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's that? Hieroglyphics. It's madness, isn't it?
Is it pale? Is it dark? Yeah. We need a definite answer, people.
Just tell me. Pregnant, not pregnant. Yeah. Done.
That's it.
In a perfect world, it would be a speaker. Like, you'd weigh on it and go, shh. Congratulations.
Yeah, having a baby. But I woke him up and it was lovely.
I said, I think I opened the little mini bar. I think I had a little beer to celebrate. And then I think I literally rolled over and went back to sleep.
Did you actually?
I did. In your face. And I chugged it. I did a thing in America where you put a hole in the bottom and you...
Yeah, you never stop drinking at all during my pregnancy.
Oh, I'll tell you what, pregnant wife, it's free taxi. It's the best. It's the greatest taxi service in the world. I was drinking at things you wouldn't normally drink at. Honestly.
Really?
Nando's during the day. Go on, then I'll have a beer.
Really? What?
She's driving.
How was pregnancy? Did you find it like an easy ride?
No, I hated it.
Really?
I just did not enjoy not having control over my body. I know this sounds so silly, but growing up, I feel like I've known my body really well. And then to just be hurled into just the unknown, it really didn't sit well with us. And I put on 5 stone as well. So I was just like a massive, just walking around. I just felt disgusting, didn't I? And I just...
You didn't enjoy it.
Don't get me wrong, I loved growing a baby. I loved feeling them kicking. Yeah. I loved that we were going to be a family. I loved all that kind of side of it. But the hormones and, like, I luckily didn't get sickness. Touching wood, like, if I'm going to get it again. But I got headaches and I was just tired. Mm. And, yeah, and Chris was working away a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I was just an emotional wreck. I think some women glide through it and then others don't so much. Yeah. And I think you've just got to be honest.
I think every pregnancy is different as well.
Absolutely. I don't think it makes you a worse mum if you didn't enjoy being pregnant, you know. I adore Robin. As soon as he was born, I was like, yes, it's been worth it.
Yeah.
But I hated you a week ago.
He have a grudge the whole of his life.
Can you imagine? Those 9 months you stole from me.
Just when he gets his first house, go to the landlord. Mind you, he's a terrible tenant. He is terrible.
Wriggly.
Kicks the walls. Makes you feel sick.
Yeah. But no, I don't look back on it and
fondly.
Think. No, moments, don't get me wrong, moments where we'd like, you know, when you stroke your belly and whatever, but then the majority I was just knackered.
So what was the labour like and meeting Robin?
Labour was a fun old time. Strangely, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Nice.
That's the thing. Hated pregnancy, labour. No, I've told you this. It was the most powerful thing I've ever done in my whole life.
Did you do hypnobirthing or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. It was a nightmare. But I just, I got a growth scan the week before because I was huge. And they said, you can have a cesarean or you can try natural. They said the baby can be anywhere between £8 and £12. That's what I was
measuring. Didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue.
They didn't
though.
Know.
Yeah.
And I really wanted a natural birth. I was like, I just want to see what it's like, blah, blah, blah. So I got induced on my due date. I was in labour for 18 hours and then had an emergency C-section because I wasn't dilating enough.
Right.
Which was fun. I was like, dimorphine all over the place. So like, sign this. I was going, oh, God, I'll sign whatever. And then had a cesarean. Robin was born and he was £10, 11 and a half. So I was
my gosh, yeah. A toddler.
Yeah. He didn't fit in the clothes that we bought.
Oh.
We had to get 3 to 6 months.
Oh my gosh, of course. Because even like that up to 1 month,
massive.
It was like £10.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Massive. Huge. But it was
they
just...
They were all laughing, weren't they, when they got him out? Yeah, literally, like, so I sort of, when they did it, I'm really squeamish. I would never stand at the business end, right? So I was sort of, I had my head right next to Rosie and I was like just kissing her on the cheek and she was obviously numb from like the neck down because they were doing the cesarean and they had the sheet up there. And I heard them, like, they said you hear like that, as like a suction thing, and he came out. And you could literally just hear the nurses and that going, oh, hey, size of head. Gene, look at this.
We didn't know if he was a boy or a girl. We were like, what is
it? I was like, it's all right. Like, it's all right. Is it a boy or a girl? And they were like laughing their heads off. He was massive.
He was huge.
He was so big.
Bless, gosh, it's weird. You don't think about it very often, but it was lovely. It was really nice, wasn't it? And then I remember, because obviously when you have a cesarean, you get numbed, which is really strange. Like, because we came out and I was like, I can't feel my legs. Yeah. So you just kind of lay there. And Robin was in the little basket. You were asleep there. And I remember you were asleep and I was kind of just dozing. And I just remember staring at him being like, hello. All right.
So
nice to meet you.
Isn't it? It's just like, hello.
When you're alone with that baby for the first time and it's like, what the hell do I do? Isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
surreal. I think we're so geared up to the like birth and them arriving.
Yeah.
And like those moments afterwards, you're like, me?
Not a clue. No idea. Yeah. And then, I couldn't breastfeed, which was devastating. And trying to do that for about how long? About a week and a half.
Really? It was hell. Oh, yeah. God.
Hell on earth.
It was, yeah.
Because I was adamant to do it, wasn't I?
Bless
I hadn't
you.
Even thought
I felt
about it.
So bad for you.
And how many women touched your boobs in that time?
Oh, so many.
Like, you just don't care about the end. You're like, no, you know, whatever.
I was like,
grab
squeeze
them,
on that nipple, see what you can get out. They were great, to be fair. They, is it called Lelech? Lelech lady?
Lactation consultant.
Yes, she came to the house. It's just the strangest. Just trying to squeeze your nipple into your baby's mouth. Someone else doing it. I was like, this is horrible. I'm crying. Robin's crying. Yeah. And then...
It was a shame because they say, like, breast is best and all that, which obviously it is, but... What they don't say is how hard it is to do sometimes. And the lady came round, and there must have been, at one point I was downstairs and you were upstairs with the lady and with Robin for easily an hour and 45 minutes of her, a professional, just literally wedging the nipple into Robin's mouth. Yeah. He finally latched and she was like, brilliant, he's latched. And then she left. And then the next time you tried, it would have been another hour and a half. Yeah. And I made an executive decision one night. I said, I'm going and filling the bottle up. And I filled the bottle and then he was happy and he slept and he stopped crying. And the lady came back a week later and she went, how are you getting on with the breastfeeding? And Rosie said, we've given in, we've gone on bottle. She went, oh, thank God, I'm so glad you did
that.
But she was never going to tell us to do. She was never going to say, look, you need to go bottle because all breast is best, which is fair enough. But if someone can't do it, you need to tell them that they can't do it because you're in a right state. And I felt so helpless.
It's hard. And then my milk came in. It came in really late. It took about... must have been about 9 days,
really?
If not longer, for my milk to come in. And I think, I know this sounds so silly, but I didn't really understand until you've experienced your milk coming in. You don't know what people keep saying. My mum used to keep saying, your milk will come. And I'm going, I don't know what you mean. Nothing's working.
I think it's happened.
Like, why? There's nothing coming out. He's here and there's nothing coming out. And then it did. And I was like, right. But then he was on the bottle by then. And it was kind of like, I did try again. I do remember trying again. I think he was like, no, this isn't the crack.
I think it's such an emotional thing, isn't it? So I think people don't like to lead people into making a decision because... you're the one that's, all the guilt and everything that comes with it. And it shouldn't. Your baby is fed. Your baby is happy.
Absolutely.
You are happy as a result.
Absolutely. Yeah. As soon as he had that bottle, we were just like...
It was a different case.
Oh, my God.
Really?
It was a different... It was like he was the baby version of an angry person at a restaurant table going, where's this waiter with me? And then he got it and he was like, it's dead happy.
That was that. And to be honest, I'll try again. I would try breastfeeding again now that I feel I know more about it.
Mm.
But I would never put myself under the pressure that I did with Robin.
Mm.
I think I'd just be a bit more like, look, if it works, it works. Mm. If it doesn't, there's another option.
So did that kind of take over that first few weeks? Because for me, with Buzz, I literally would take an hour and a half to feed him. And it felt like he'd go away for an hour and then he'd come back. And I'd find it quite daunting. As soon as he'd cry, people would be like, oh, he wants his mum. And I'd be like, no!
Yeah, well, when we were trying so hard, it did, because I expressed, so he would take in my expressed milk, an ounce. Yeah. He would take that. But then we were giving him formula from a cup because we didn't want him to get too used to having a bottle. Yeah. It was so frustrating and weird. I remember just being so sad because I'd have to, like, to get him to try and breastfeed, he'd just have to kind of lick around my nipple and just be like that. And it was just really strange, wasn't it? And then once we'd given the bottle, we could take turns.
Yeah.
And it was a...
Sleep.
Yeah, it was a really big relief. And for me as well, because he was so big, my cesarean scar was like...
Oh my gosh, picking him up and everything.
Yeah,
well, that was the thing. That's,
it was
that's,
really hard.
That's what the lady said. Again, I'm not slagging off breastfeeding in any way, shape or form, but she said, oh, I'm so glad you've decided bottle because with the size he is and with the fact that you had a C-section, this was never going to happen. Mm. That's what she said, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but everyone's different. There might have
been
people who've done that.
Dads can do it as well. Dads can feed from formula. I mean, dads can feed expressed milk as well. But I very much enjoyed feeding them.
You really liked it, didn't you?
Absolutely loved it. Like,
really?
Just a little tiny little. Well, not tiny. He was massive. I mean, give you a dead arm. But just this little dude, just drinking away. I don't know.
We had a good system though, because Chris went back on tour 10 days after Robin was born.
I know. I'm hiding behind the mic so you can't give it.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't planned. Your tour was booked.
His tour was booked.
Because we got pregnant so quick. His tour was booked, so it was just like, we've got to just do it.
Any other tour, I would have moved it, but it was the DVD tour.
Right.
And I also had Royal Variety Performance that year as well. So I had to, it was like, look, we have to do this. Listen, like, this little thing is, this little child is the reason I have to do this. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it was horrible. But I remember crying in the when the taxi picked us up, I cried all the way down the street. Yeah.
You used to come home, though, from a gig at about 2, 3 in the morning, and he would do the During the Night feed. So we had quite a nice little system, and you used to sometimes wait up if you got in a bit earlier for his feed. And then, so I didn't have to do that one, and then I'd get up in the morning. So it kind of, it ended up working, didn't it?
My tour manager has never done so much nighttime driving in his life.
I know, you had to come home quite a lot. Yeah.
Where was Shropshire? Get in the car, back home. Got a baby to feed.
I don't think people talk that much about like dad's having to work away and that emotional tug.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah, it was really hard. The first one back wasn't actually a tour show, it was a corporate gig in Edinburgh and I got in the taxi and I was coming back that night. I got in the taxi and I drove to the station and I went and did the gig in Edinburgh. Then my tour manager drove back from Edinburgh and I knew I was coming back that night. That was one of the first nights I did the feed. But just leaving, I was crying just leaving for that. I was like, I'm leaving them for like what's going to happen. And I've got to say, like, you were amazing, to be fair. Oh. If it was the other way around, if you'd left me 10 days with a 10-day-old baby, I mean, the house would burn down. I would be I'd be the worst. So, you know, amazing. You were amazing.
How was that for you?
Hard. Yeah. Really hard. Yeah. And my mum tells me off now still that she mentioned it the other day, actually. I was that stupid, silly person who doesn't
stop.
Accept help or didn't stop, and I wish I had. Yeah. Honestly, if I have another one, I will take all the help because I was just a bit. I kind of just wanted to do it myself, but it was
could barely
hard.
Move sometimes because of the scar, and you had you had a hematoma or whatever they called it. It got really bad. It burst, didn't it? There was a thing.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got fun and games.
Yeah, there was like a little lump on the thing, and it burst, and it was. Oof.
But we were all right. You were back every so often. It wasn't like you went. Cause there's some ladies whose partners are in the army and they're gone for like.
But I think it's all
months.
About being like it's all relative to you. Yeah, it's what you're all going through. It was all very well in that moment when you're in your room crying. Chris is away, but at least it's back.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter in that moment, does it?
2 o'clock in the morning, sitting with a screaming baby, I was like, "Where is my husband?"
I had a 4 week when Buzz was 4 weeks old. Tom just slept in the spare room because he was on tour and he didn't want to get a cold. And Matt just being in a separate room, I was like,
It's intense, isn't it? Yeah. It is the emotional bit of it because I knew how much you were missing him. What you're laughing at?
I just remembered there. Sorry, when I was in, just about Tom not wanting to get a cold. That's the thing as well. When you're on tour, you got to be careful. So I remember, I was in Aberdeen. I was ready to do Aberdeen on that very tour. I went to Pizza Express, I think, had some food, and I thought. I feel a bit, little bit strange. And then Rosie phoned us and said, Robin's got a sickness bug. I've got a sickness bug. It's in the post, mate.
Oh,
and I went,
yes.
All right. And I did an hour gig. And at the end of the gig, I was sick on stage. And then I came home.
I remember that. Gosh. In the bucket, weren't you?
I had a bucket next to us for the full gig. And it was that. I'd caught it from the previous. Yeah. That just reminded us there. But it was the phone call of, he's being sick. I'm being sick. You're probably going to be being sick.
I think it was at the Nova.
It was norovirus. Yeah. Have a good gig. Horrible. Yeah, I remember that. Goodness, that was on that tour. That was on that. Yeah, fun and games.
God, don't get no sick days, do you? No.
You don't get sick days.
No sick days.
Not in this job.
Nah.
Fun and games. But again, it's you holding the fort. Yeah, I'll never be able to fully thank you for that. But you are brilliant.
Handbags will do. Thank you.
So these headphones are cutting out again.
People are going to think it's a really shoddy setup.
Yeah, no, it's not a shoddy setup, it's an amazing setup.
Just trying to get out of it.
Like I've just said, when we record hours in the house, we sometimes have to close the curtains because the neighbour's mowing his lawn and you can hear him.
Oh, gosh.
It's a great setup.
So, obviously, Robin started growing. Was it weird that suddenly your life evolved around something completely different?
Yeah. Our life does, Robin, still now. Revolves around him. But I think this is going to sound a bit silly, but we have said this as well. Now, before we had Robin, before we have our children, did you kind of just do something? You get a bit bored. I remember us being a bit bored sometimes, weren't we? And then you have a child and you're like, I'm never bored ever. But I kind of miss being bored.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you can't just lounge on the sofa now and do nothing.
Never, ever.
We used to binge shows and then we would fall asleep on the sofa at midnight, wake up at 3, wander to bed, go to sleep, wake up at 10 or whatever, go and get breakfast, go back to bed, eat it in bed. I want to go back in time, grab that version of myself and give him a slap around the face and go, go out, do something, go and... anything. You're going to have a kid soon and you're going to be in the house
enjoy
all the time.
It all.
Go to pubs, go out drinking, go for fancy meals, go on holiday. You absolute time waster.
Get a booze cruise.
Yeah, go on a cruise, do something. I've got mates who don't have kids and I speak to them now and they're just like, oh yeah, we're just going to work the pictures last night. We're just going to go for a couple of drinks. And I go, oh good, choke on it, choke on it. Enjoy it. But you don't know what you do with your time, do you? You don't know what you did with your time before, kid.
All that sleep.
Oh, God.
All the sleep. Do you remember sometimes we used to be like, oh, I've only had 9 hours. 9 hours. Do you remember? We had a day off from work for us was we'd sit in bed. And I remember there was times we had breakfast, lunch, and then possibly tea in bed.
In bed. Sorry, dinner for the southern listeners.
Oh, yeah, dinner. Sorry,
breakfast,
early
lunch, dinner. In bed.
In bed.
Yeah.
That would just never happen now unless you're ill.
Unless you're ill,
even
yeah.
Even then that doesn't
even,
happen.
No, it doesn't, nah. Does it? Never
you
happens.
I feel bad. I was ill this weekend and I felt bad being in... Rosie amazingly let us... Well, not amazing, but, you know, thanks. Amazing on your part. not surprise. You went out, you took Robin out, didn't you? And I was in for the day and I stayed in bed and I felt... bad. Even though I was ill, I thought, I'm going, this is wrong.
It's
why
guilt.
Am I doing this? It's guilt. It's total guilt.
Well, that guilt starts straight away. I think it starts as soon as you find out you're pregnant. That guilt.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Not for a man, but carry on.
Yeah, nothing starts for a man until the baby arrives.
I had a taxi driver for 9 months, but yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but then that comes into the whole, I can't eat that. Yeah. Oh no, I feel terrible about that. And I remember one day I had a long day when I was working. I went to like a press day or something and I was on my feet all day, and then I remember getting home thinking, yeah, I feel terrible. Is the baby all right? Like, I haven't, he hasn't moved much. And you're right, the guilt is straight away.
So, what has been your biggest surprise with Robin?
Up until recently, I would have moments where I would look at him and go, oh God, I'm responsible for everything about you. The all encompassing vastness of it. It's so important that just this little child is your whole world. And it's if you think about it too much, it can genuinely give yourself a headache. It's craziness.
And you want them to be great, don't you?
But that's it as well. His future, everything he does in the future. And I worry about stuff that hasn't even happened yet. We were watching a show, weren't we? Can you remember watching Are You the One? And there was a guy crying.
Oh my God, I love Are You the One.
It's amazing.
Isn't
it incredible?
Isn't it
incredible?
So trashy, and
it's great, yes.
I say that the host has the best job because he gets to go in and shout at those dickheads. It's the best job in the world.
Aren't they just ridiculous?
The best. But we were watching it and there was a guy crying. A girl wanted nothing to do with him and he was crying his eyes out. He'd known her 20 minutes. He was crying his eyes out. And I turned to you, didn't I? And I was like, one day Robin's going to get his heart broken. She was like, grow up. What is wrong with you?
This is you, though.
But it's this. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's the fact that not just now his responsibility, everything he does for the when he starts going out,
that
everything.
Guilt as well.
It's guilt.
Because you feel that guilt of you've brought them into this life and you're actually going to expose them to all of this emotion. Yeah. That you can't control.
Yeah, yeah. Everything I see in that, I see something on the news about the other week, water's going to run out. I went, oh, sorry, mate. hope you like drinking all that stuff. Like, I feel like I need to apologise for everything for him. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy.
It'll
what
be
about you?
Fine.
biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise. I think, I don't know if this is the right way to answer, but my biggest surprise is Robin himself. He's weirdly not how I thought he would be. He's
really?
Better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, see him.
He's great. Like, honestly.
He's got so much character.
Oh, yeah. Like, we can't believe it, can we? He's just... You're going to cry.
Oh, don't. No,
don't cry. He's so emotional.
He's quality, man.
He's
so
just
cool.
Brilliant. And I don't know. That's my biggest surprise, I think. How his personality is just... has formed and he's just turned into this proper cool little man and he's great. You're crying.
Can you remember when we brought him back and I just love him, he's just lush. Can you remember when we brought him back? I love this moment as well. It's so funny.
Oh,
and so we brought him back and he was, I think, you know, Rosie was having her first bath since the hospital.
Nice moment.
Oh, good moment, yeah.
And
that was lifting.
He was downstairs. He might have been with your mum or with my mum. Someone was downstairs with him, is my point. We didn't just leave him downstairs. Telly's on, there's the remote, mate.
Just a disclaimer.
Two days old. Stuff in the fridge. And he was lying down, obviously, and I went upstairs and I was making sure she was okay in the bath, and you were sitting, you were getting emotional in the bath, and you were crying. Can you remember what you said to her? She was crying her eyes out, and I was going, are you okay, doctor? She was like, yeah, yeah, because it was all so much. She went, he's a day old. She went, do you think he's happy? It's a beautiful moment. I was like, I don't think he really gets the concept of happy, if I'm honest with you.
Do you think he likes the house?
That was it, that was the other way. Do you think he likes the house? I forgot that. That's the funniest bit, I forgot it. Do you think he likes the house? Do you think he's happy?
Well, I've been brooding for 9 months. I wanted a good review.
A good review.
Hey, you gave him 5 stars, TripAdvisor. Give you a womb 3,
oh,
didn't you?
Gosh. Yeah, I do remember. I mean, I was, oh God, the emotions after you've had a baby. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, and that's the thing, like, with you being away as well, like, if that was me, I'd have been like an emotional wreck.
Oh, I was. I was. Really? But my mum's great, though. I've got a really, really good family, and your mum and dad as well. So I was all right. I was quite grounded. I saw everyone during the day.
Yeah.
It was just the night times that I found a bit,
well,
that were quite
difficult.
Because
they're so lonely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those night times feel like they're never ending.
Mm. Yeah. I remember going to bed at 9 o'clock thinking, and I think Robin was about 8 weeks old, thinking, well, get an early night. Come on, son. Go up 9 o'clock. I'd put Gavin and Stacey on Netflix.
You feel like in control at that moment.
Yeah, I'm in control. 9 o'clock, early night. 11 o'clock, you're not asleep yet. You're still crying. 2 o'clock in the morning. Why aren't you going to sleep? It's just, they just don't have any concept of like... Yeah. Hours of time.
Well, and that's why I think so many people, when people come over and see new mums and dads, it looks like everyone's got everything together. And it's actually in those dark moments, nighttime, where everything falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where so many people, you know.
Yeah, and I was just by myself rocking in bed going, oh my God, what am I doing? Good times.
But you feel like you can't say that, because then you feel like you're moaning about becoming a parent, and that's what you've wanted. You love your baby.
Yeah. And then you have the really high moment of the, oh God, I love you so much, when they're asleep. And you're looking at them like, oh my God, I just love you so much. And then you have the horrible moment. So they kind of outweigh each other, I think.
Yeah, it's that thing as well. Sometimes people have a real go if you have like a moan about anything to do with having a kid. I remember I put a thing on Twitter. It was, he woke up wanting his bottle, middle of the night, it was like 2-3 in the morning. He woke up wanting it, crying. I made it, and I had this machine thing. And then I sat him on my knee and I went to put him in his mouth and he fell asleep. And I put the whole story on and I was like, what a dick. Like, that was the little joke. What a dick. The idea of calling a baby a dick, quite funny, because it's just something you shouldn't say, calling a dog a dick. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just weird. And I got abuse of people. Oh, what? I can't believe you're saying that. People can't have children. Why are you saying that? And it's like, no, you don't understand. This is my, I'm talking about my situation here. This has got nothing to do with anything else. It's so strange. But it you know, it is something to celebrate, and it is something to moan about. God, I've had a couple of tours moaning about children. It's great.
Well, yeah, like how have you found talking about parenthood in like?
Well,
he likes your
Instagram up, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's got me 132,000 followers. Yeah.
That must have been so strange for you, because you literally came back from tour, and all of a sudden Rosie's got.
Well, I started realising when it was every night I would ring you, wouldn't I, after I'd done that. So I had a bit in my last tour where I would say, oh, I don't know how many of you follow my wife on Instagram, and I'd get pockets of cheering. And in some places where I think I was in Torquay, and nearly all of the crowd were like, yeah. And I was like, I thought in the northeast, maybe, but this is crazy. And then obviously I did the arena, and we had to stop the recording because they chanted a name. 7,500 people went mad for
that.
Great. Like, again, people go, oh, well, you got it. No, I'm buzzing. She's my wife. She's the mother of my child. I love that. I love that you're doing stuff. I love that people are seeing what I see. Do you know what I mean? Not all of what I see, but the good bits.
Well, some pictures.
Most of it. Got to fucking lie. Most of it.
Yeah.
No, it's great. That's how I started Instagram when I had Robin, because I stupidly left work, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, not stupid. Me and Chris were like passing ships in the night because I did the afternoon shift on the radio, and you were home at those times. And I wasn't putting Robin to bed like 5 nights
a
week.
Let's be honest. Don't you say we're passing ships in the night? You missed him. You didn't give a shit about it. You missed him.
Do you know what? I think any mother, the option was there to not work. And I think any mother who has that option would probably take it. So I took it. Yeah. But then I was just bored and a bit lost. I just took to my phone. But it's so funny. I only had about 500 followers when I started doing it. And they were like just mates and stuff. Do you know, people you know in like the local pub and everything. And then I was just kind of talking and then it got more and more and more.
Well, mates of mine used to text us and go, Rosie's Instagram's hilarious. Yeah. And people used to come around our house and they go, oh, I saw your thing. Oh, is this thing? They'd pick something, like, I don't know, something. They'd pick something. What is this off your Instagram? And I remember thinking, wow, okay. And then it just went up and up and up. And I haven't, to be fair, I haven't plugged you. It's not like I've gone, oh, everyone follow me wife.
I have literally been sat at my desk, meant to be working, and I'm just on your Instagram, and I'm just snorting. You can see me laughing.
I know,
and
I remember that,
So funny.
Oh, thanks.
But it's, I think it's that thing as well. You're in a situation that all of us are in, and like, I guess where you take the situation and put it on stage, you're actually in it.
Yeah. In that moment. And I did it quite, when Robin was really little, I did it quite a lot more, obviously with him because he was just a baby. And I think people just related to it, you know? And I didn't really sugarcoat much of it, you know? So it was just kind of like the raw bits.
It's kind of anti-Instagram, wasn't it? It was totally against what Instagram normally is for. And that's what people loved about it. That's the messages you got. Yeah. People say it to me after gigs, oh, I love her so much. She's so real. She's so, like, you know, other moms and stuff. And that's
It's also the parody of vloggers as well.
You like that, didn't you?
Oh, I found that so funny.
Oh, honestly.
Oh, Rosie Mumsy.
Rosie Mumsy. Oh, I was trying, well, I thought about doing vlogging.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do, you bought me all the equipment for Christmas. I was like, I'm going to do a vlog. I started watching, I was watching them on YouTube and I was like, oh, I couldn't do this. Not a chance. They were like, they were just, I don't know, just not me at all. And really unattainable lives, a lot of them. And it just made me feel a bit inadequate as a mother. And I was like, oh, I'm not.
Well, that's
do
the thing,
this.
Isn't it? I think Instagram or anything, YouTube, it's all about following people that make you feel good.
Yes, absolutely. They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
They've got millions of followers because people love to see that.
But some of them will make people like you and me feel like, ugh, we're rubbish. Yeah. Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah.
Whereas that is so, it's so refreshing to see someone who is like you.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why people, can relate to mine a bit, I hope. So. It's good.
You're going to overtake Chris soon.
Do you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
How many followers? I think since Christmas, you've gone up like 60,000.
It has gone up quite a lot. I got 20,000. You know when you retweeted it? What's it called?
Oh, come on, Grandma.
Wrong one, sorry. When you shared it. I got 20,000 followers.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell's going on?
I'm on 163,000.
Oh, yours has gone up.
Yeah, but you're only 30,000 away from me. Yours is going up much faster than mine. I'm going to make a prediction. August.
Really?
By August, you'll be higher than me.
That'd be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's it. Let's have a party. People think I'm going to care. It's great. Bloody great.
You're never on it. You're not very good on it.
Do you know what it is, right? When I'm busy writing a show at the minute, I'm writing a stand-up show, so every thought and every possible every sentence, every word that I feel could be funny goes straight into the notes on the phone and then straight on stage. Mm. I'm not burning it. I'm not going to burn it on there. Yeah. It's never going to happen. So that's the difference between a stand-up. The odd thing I'll put on there will be, hi, I've got a gig on sale. And everyone's like, oh, you're not very good. And I'm like, well, come and see us live. You'll get it. My wife, if you want to, you'll get that on Instagram.
If you want instant comedy, go to Rosie. I have to brew.
Plus, you've got to pay for mine.
You've got to pay for it. Yeah, exactly.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, all of my just creative input goes straight into that at the moment. Yeah. And then when I'm not writing, I can't be arsed to think of anything new. So, you know, and Rosie, you're a machine on it. It's really, really impressive how much output you do.
It comes quite naturally. I don't really find it very difficult.
But that is the best.
Yeah.
I think when people are like, I'm posting 8 o'clock every night, it comes like a machine. And
no,
that's
one
that.
Thing. That's my, haven't I said that? That's my one rule. If I'm having a bad day and I've got nothing to say, I just don't go on.
Absolutely.
No pressure.
I love that about mine. Mm. I don't feel any pressure from it. I kind of just do it as and when. Got some lovely things out of it. I know I'm doing a bit more on it and making a bit of money out of it, which is nice.
Thank God. God.
So that's nice.
Be
but other
worth
than that, no.
Hearing the Instagram stories repeated again and again as she adds tags to them.
Hey, first time.
Hi, guys. Turning line of duty up.
He hates it. He's like, can you go in the other room? I'm like, this needs to be done, Chris.
Jesus. I'm used to it now. It used to proper wind
you
us up, didn't it?
You hated it, didn't you?
It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So because of your platforms as well, I first found out about you when you were both on Lorraine.
Oh, yes.
So that's
yes.
the first, and actually I messaged you that day. And then,
oh, you messaged, yeah.
Yeah.
That was and I don't think there's many people that talk about miscarriage.
No, there's not.
And, you know, so second pregnancy for you, you two ended in a miscarriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about that time first and then talk about why you wanted to share it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when was it, first of all, I guess?
It was last August.
Last August, yeah.
Last August it happened, 12-week scan. We were just there and there was just no baby.
There was a sack. The sack was there.
Yeah.
But they said the baby just hadn't developed. So it was
just the baby had passed a few weeks earlier, but I still was... The pregnancy sac had remained, so it's blighted ovum, right. So like a miscarriage. So I was going through all the same pregnancy feelings, still felt pregnant, but the baby had passed a few weeks earlier. And it was just bloody awful, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, and it was that thing, we said it earlier, because we fell pregnant like that for the first one, and it happened again for the second one. And you go, oh, great, well, we're just infallible, perfect baby-making machines, here we go. And then you go for the scan, and it was... it was horrible in the hospital. So helpless, just lying there going, oh, God, didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do.
I think we weren't going to say anything because we were off social media. And I think when you're so active on social media, we were off for like a week. I was getting messages and emails like through other forms of communication going like, are you okay? Mm. Yeah, and what happened was, so it was a blighted ovum, but then... Because I was quite far on, I had to pass the sac.
Right.
So I had to go into hospital and I had to take tablets and kind of try and get rid of it that way.
Almost induced,
was
in it.
Awful. It was like labour. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. 20 hours, still didn't pass the sac. So then I had to go have surgery and that D&C, I don't know the
D&C,
name for it. And I think when we got home, we were kind of like, we could just not tell anyone. But do you know what? I... personally didn't realize it that happened.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, people have miscarriages, you hear about it, you go, oh, that's terrible, so sorry, you get on with your day. I was in hospital in agony for 20 hours. I'd never, other than having Robin, I'd never had an operation, I'd never been under anesthetic, and it was terrifying. And it was such a horrible experience, and it was so sad. And I just kind of thought, you know what, we can brush it under the carpet. Or we can actually use the little, like, the platform that we have and try and, I don't know, try and raise a little bit of an awareness about it, you know? We didn't want to dwell on it as such, so we haven't always talked about it. We're not part of any kind of, you know, organisation, but I'm really glad we did talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think
I think it helped a lot of people.
It helped, it did. We got a lot of messages.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And it helped us.
It helped us hugely. It was like therapy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugely.
Because I think when you're going through it, you feel like you failed. And for you, you would feel like you failed you failed Chris, you failed. And that's something that you shouldn't feel.
Mm.
But and there's that anger and there's all those hopes and those dreams that you've already created in your brain. You can't help.
Oh,
you've
absolutely.
Pictured Robin with the other child and how, oh, when we go on this holiday, well, they'll be that age and what are they going to be like?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that's taken away and it feels such a lonely time.
It's devastating. I've never felt so sad in my whole entire life, ever. Yeah. Is it you? I'm going to get upset.
It was, it was just... until it's happened to you, you don't really give it any... No, respect's not the word, but you don't see it as this huge thing until it's happened. Someone will tell you, like, we're not having the baby. And you go, oh, you're joking, that's terrible. And you kind of don't even know what to say. And you go, okay, and you just move on with it. But God, when it happens, it's earth-shattering. It's crazy. Because it's everything that you are thinking about and everything you're moving towards. What was amazing was, once we sort of went public about it and told people, I was getting texts from people I'd worked with once, years ago. Mm. Blokes going, mate, I just saw you on whatever, we've just seen the post. I got inundated. Yeah. Obviously, well wishers who we didn't know, but people who I knew who were going, oh, look, we had two miscarriages. And I'm like, what?
And they just never told anyone.
Yeah. We are not the kind people. Yes, there are people who don't want to say it and the people who want to keep it quiet, and I totally get that. And I'm not saying you have to tell people. If you want to keep it quiet, deal with it however you want. But we aren't the people who keep stuff quiet. Me and Rosie, you've heard my podcast. We do not. And it really, really helped us.
But also, you're giving people who can't talk about it or don't feel like they're in a position to talk about it comfort just by you sharing and them just reading other people's comments.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to be an active person.
Yeah. Yeah. I said that on my feed. I was like, if it's happened to you and you just want to read about other people's stories, just have a read. And it does actually make you feel a little bit better. Yeah. Weirdly, it kind of put us in a different kind of light, because then you hear so many awful stories of couples who've, you know, 5, 6, 7 miscarriages. And you just think, gosh, it's so hard. But, you know, we've actually, I mean, I don't think you get over it, but we're getting there, aren't we? We're all right.
Yeah.
And Robin, bless him, was just the shining light through the whole experience. Oh, God.
Couldn't have done it without him.
He was great. Even he was going to stay out the night that I got back from hospital. He was going to stay at your mum and dad's. And I was like, no, I need to see him because I'm just in this pit of misery. And he walked through the door, didn't he, 5 o'clock? And he was like, hello. And we were like, hiya. And then,
it was like, guess what? No moping, guys. Yeah. I'm back. It was almost like he was a little cheerleader brought in to just lift the moods. It was like, he obviously didn't know, but it was just like, imagine someone knew but wasn't letting on that they knew and they were just trying to take your mind off something. Yeah. It was essentially like that. It was like he knew but he wasn't getting it on and he was trying to just get through it. And he did. Couldn't have done it without him. We literally did say if we hadn't had him, it would have been even worse, which is hard to imagine, but it would have been bad.
Yeah, definitely.
Does it scare you about thinking, like, about future babies?
Yes.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. I'm terrified. I was terrified anyway. But yeah.
I think it will, obviously, when we do want to have another baby, it will be there thinking, oh, but you can't. I suppose you can't really think like that.
You know me, man. I'm already worried about him having his heart broken by a 25-year-old on a TV show in America that he's never going to apply for. Come on. Jesus.
This is Christopher. Thinks about everything.
I worry about everything. Christ.
Nth degree. I think when the time's right, the time isn't right just yet.
Well, not with everything that's happening as well.
Yeah, weirdly, don't get me wrong, the baby would have been here now and it would have been wonderful.
Well, that's another thing though, isn't it? You know roughly when your due date is, you kind of get to that and you're like, you know, it's another moment of
emotions.
Oh,
that was another date, wasn't it? That was horrible. But no, we're just kind of, we've got a lot of things going on. For the first time, because I was a stay-at-home mom with Robin, which was really intense. Mm. I'm having a bit of time to kind of do a few things I want to do. But I don't think it'll be too much longer. We'll see. Who knows?
I didn't get this email, but sure.
We're going to have sex.
I've only just been looping on this call.
Listen, yeah, I'll let you know a good week in advance.
We have been discussing it, yeah.
We'll see. Just got to see what happens. We'd love more children.
Yeah, well, I was an only child and I don't want Robin to be an only child.
Really?
Not that it was bad, just that I feel like I missed out on the whole sibling thing, so I want to live it sort of vicariously through him. I want to see what he's like with siblings. And he's got so much love to give.
He'd be great.
He'd be amazing. He'd be fantastic.
I find with Buzz, I look back at the things that I did with him and I'm just like, that is amazing that we had that time just us. You guys, I took Buzz to Australia and you guys took Robin to Australia when he was really young.
Yeah.
Robin did his first steps in Australia.
At the pool. Yeah.
First steps upside down, legend. Yeah.
How did he not fall over?
Dad joke there for you. It was lovely, wasn't it? Yeah.
And no, you're right. It's lovely. We've had some lush time with him, haven't we?
I get worried loads about the age gap. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Like,
I look at it both ways, because there's, you know, it's lovely having a short age because they're going to be best buds, and there was like 2.5 years between each of me and my brother and sister. But then we've got a couple a couple of friends.
We've got one friend. And Giovanna, the real reason we came here today was to ask, would you like to be our second friend?
I will be your second friend. Thanks, guys.
Get in.
Great.
Two friends.
I feel a bit overwhelmed now. I don't want to be your friend anymore, I'm worried.
It was too easy, too easy. Take it back, take it back.
No, are you talking about, Michael Jordan? Michael and Jordan. Are you talking about them? They've got a massive gap. No.
Oh, no. Michael and Rachel, they've got Lucy, who's nine, right. And they've just had Finn. Well, they had Finn 2 years ago, who's two, so I suppose she's 11 now, sorry. They've got a big age gap,
and
Lucy's
amazing. It's great.
Really?
Like Rachel's got like a helper, you know, like practically a living babysitter, really.
Oh, when they come round to our house, Lucy is just in another room with all the kids. She very regularly gets a £10 note on the way out.
She's honestly, she's great with them.
But then
she's
my friend Michael and his brother Jordan, they've got a big age gap. And when they were younger, they weren't sort of, you know, when I knocked around with Michael in the street when I was younger, Jordan was never there because the age gap was quite big. He was with different friends.
How much are big? It was about 6 years, is it?
I think they are, maybe 6 or 7 years, But now...
The best mates.
I see Jordan more than I see Michael now,
really?
And like proper, really lovely. And they're lush with their granda and that, aren't they? It's really weird. They got a nice family. We were at a party the other day and the granda came in and both the lads, Michael and Jordan, up straight away going to get in their granda a seat and all this. And they go to the social club with them on a Friday, which is proper northern. So there is, you know.
Lovely lads.
Yeah, dead nice lads. But what I'm saying is, I suppose the big age gap thing is just something, you know. But Robin was never going to play with a baby now anyway.
It is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. It is what it is.
How old is Robin now?
Until I perfect
three.
That time machine, there's nothing we can do about it.
He's three. You can't live your life thinking, when are we having another baby? We've got to get it. Because then you just can't. Mm-hmm. And especially with our lives.
Yeah.
You know,
crazy,
we will get pregnant again and you'll be back on tour. I can just see it.
Yeah. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Might in for 5 days this time.
Shocking.
And it's a boy. Cheers. Right, I've got to jump in the taxi.
You're laughing. That is actually you.
That's basically what happened.
At least he was crying. At least you were crying.
Yeah, I was crying.
You had emotional. I felt
bad when we were at that 5-star hotel. I'm joking. I didn't get to stay in the hotel. I had to come straight home.
Is it hard when Chris goes away and he comes back? Mm-hmm. Do you find it's more difficult with him there?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I get so used to kind of just doing it alone. Mm. Me and Robin have got our little routine. We're sorted. We know exactly what we're doing. Chris comes home. Carnage. Utter carnage, isn't it?
Sorry if I look like I'm not listening. It's because I've heard this speech multiple times. We've got a routine.
You just get in the way.
And you ruin it.
You get in the way because I had my week mapped out because I had to. I was like, right, I need to take them there on that day and then go there and we'll go and see them. And then you come home and it's like, what we're doing? Like, we've got appointments actually, Chris. So you're gonna have to just crack on by yourself.
The main one that you used to kick off about was if I had a week of gigs where I was at home, but I was at home on the night, but I was away on. So imagine I'm doing gigs at 2-3 hours away, and I'm saying to my tour manager, "Look, we'll drive home each night, and I'll get the morning to see Rosie and Robin." Mm-hmm. But then that means you were having to hang around in the house, weren't you, until I woke up.
It's like, we're meant to be at swimming, actually, Chris.
Yeah, it's like you've ruined, the whole day is ruined because they've had to hang out. And Robin is, he has been since he's been able to kind of walk and move around. If you keep him in the house for too long, you'll hit a magic moment where he's just unbearable. He
really?
Wants to just get out of the house.
Like
he gets bored. When
boys,
he gets bored,
it?
He's climbing the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the amount of times you would go, when you're back, it just ruins everything. We're normally up and we're out. And then we worked out that you need to get up and out until before I woke up, and then you come back, and then everything was okay.
Yeah.
You come back in for lunch, and I'd be there.
Yeah, it's like a puppy. You've just got to run him round. I sometimes just take him to the local park and go, go on.
I'll run him ragged.
Someone said to me that boys are like that. They need to be fed,
boys are like
slept,
puppies.
They're asleep,
they're happy. Yeah. Yeah. Just got to be knackered. Yeah. Just that's the only way he sleeps as well, isn't it? We've just got to tire him out.
Yeah. Run him out
a
dog.
Full on.
Yeah,
he's
he is full on, really full on. Sometimes we get jealous, don't we, when people come around with little girls?
I know.
Oh, it's all so quiet and calm. Oh, I know that not every girl is like
it. Yeah, obviously.
But almost all but two.
It feels like when you've got boys.
They sit nicely, they read, they colour in.
They do, don't they? You don't hear a peep from them except if they want a drink or something. And then they always say please and thank you. Boys, where's Alan?
Yeah. It's like little girls sitting there. When there's little girls around, they just sit there doing nothing. When Robin's boyfriends are around our house, it's like there's a little stag do in the house.
lads,
bang, bang, bang. Get down off their back.
But then the girl
jumping.
I know. Then the little girls come over going to their mums, "Mummy, they're so loud."
Yeah. little girls have said that about Robin. Like, he's so loud.
Yeah. He is very. I mean, I think that's partly us as well, though.
Absolutely.
We're a loud.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. We literally talk for a living.
I know.
Exactly. What do you expect?
I got upset, not upset, but like just I was kind of talking to my mum once. I was like, "Mum, Robin is." I thought he had a glue ear. You know, I thought he had something wrong with his ear.
Growing up.
Yeah. Well, my little brother did as well. Ah. Yeah. See, so I was thinking, my mum was going, "Mum, he shouts when he talks." <He's> so... And my mum just looked at me and went, "Rosie, have you been in your house before?" Me and Chris are like, "Chris."
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with our kids here, and nothing wrong.
Not when you mention Easter egg. He's there.
You could whisper. You could walk into the shed, lock the door, and whisper Easter egg, and he could be at the back of the house, and he would appear in the shed. What's this about Easter eggs?
Yeah, if you're saying wash your hands, nothing.
I realised there was nothing wrong with his ears. When now and then, if I want to really get his attention, I'll be going like, "Robin, Robin, Robin," and he's totally ignoring you. Then genuinely, if you go, "Robin," he turns around, whisper it, "Robin," shout then, "Robin." He goes, "What?" And you go, "You are just ignorant of what you are, son."
Rude.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there are times when you're out and about with a louder child and you feel judged.
Yes.
All the time.
Really? It's not just me.
Oh, constantly. He's really, really full on. Yeah, you can always hear him. I go pick him up from nursery in the morning and I'm standing in the queue with all the other mums and dads and whoever. And all you can hear is Robin shouting.
Yeah.
Just over all the other kids, and I'm like, "Oh my God." But not horrible loud, yeah. Not obnoxious, just loud. And he's just in your face and runs everywhere. He can't walk, he just runs everywhere. And you've got your three boys. Do they now put their coats over their heads like superheroes? Has that happened yet? Yeah.
He holds the bottom.
Robin does it constantly.
Holds the bottoms of the zips like that and then loops it up over him.
It just runs around like that, like Batman. It's great.
Crazy. Yeah. Just hear him all the time. Yeah, but it's not, like you say, it's not nasty. And he's always just trying to tell you a story or something that's happened. But because he's so loud and because he's so tall and big, in public, everyone is normally just like, "What is wrong with your five-year-old? Like, why is your five-year-old so weird?" And it's like, he's three. He's just massive. Yeah.
But one thing I do love about Robin is that he's really cool around other adults. He's not shy.
Right.
Not in a rude way. He doesn't just go up and whatever, but he's not shy, as he so? Because obviously where we live, it's like our hometown. People have always known who Chris is, and now me a little bit more. Since Robin's been born, he's always had to kind of say hello to people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we'd go say hello because people stop and chat to us.
He just thinks we've got loads of mates.
Yeah.
But as you know, we are taking photos with you.
Yeah. We've only got two mates and you're one of them now.
Yeah. Yeah.
When's he going to find that weird? When's he going to start going, "Why are these people getting pictures with you?
I think he's grown up with it, so he's never going to find it weird.
Yeah.
He's never going to find it weird.
Yeah.
Have you all said anything about that or not?
Buzz asks if we can watch certain people on TV. And we're like, "Oh, they're not on TV." And it's like, "Why not?"
Oh, I get you. Yeah. I get you.
Because it's like, so he'll see us on TV. He'll see, like, so we're really close.
Right.
Our friends are on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You'll just pick someone else randomly.
Yeah, like, "Can we watch that person?" Like, yeah. No.
No, they're a doctor.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah.
They've got a real job. Yeah.
Not make-believe land.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, bless him.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. We were on the Sarah Cox show the other week and we had it on in the morning. I was like, "Robin, look. He's going, "Ah." Oh. Wasn't bothered at all.
Wanted Super Wings on straight away.
Yeah. Imagine seeing your mum and dad on telly when you were a kid.
But I think because they've all done it since such a young age, I think if they were like 5 years older, they'd be like, "Oh, well, that's strange."
Yeah.
Just got no idea. It's quite nice, really, isn't it? It's, you know.
It's innocence, man's lush.
Definitely.
I love that Buzz just randomly requests people on telly. It's great.
Can I watch me mate at school on the telly? Doesn't work like that.
He's also decided that he wants to be on The Voice Kids, but he wants us to take him
right,
and then come home and watch him on telly.
Brilliant.
You could arrange that. You could ask them. Just a sly recording, you know. Just for the bin.
Nepotism. I'm not having it. I'm going to report you if you do. I want that to be fair. I'm going to send an email. It's got to be fair.
Oh, bless him, though. That's really sweet.
What is the biggest challenge? Because you like, fly around with Robin as well. Like, you travel.
Yeah, we try.
You don't shy away from going on holidays and stuff.
No. I think the challenges we find, because he's good at travelling and we're not scared of it, is I want him to have lovely manners. and I want him to be really nice. And so I find that I put so much pressure on myself to be like, what do you say? What do you say? Be nice, say goodbye, say thank you. I know I do it and I can feel I do it, but I think you've got to just get it into them, you know, because they're like little robots and you've just got to program it into them every day and repeat yourself constantly. So I find that quite challenging, just to get him to be just a nice little human.
It's for having time away from him as well. We always have, like, obviously it's we're here doing this today. Yeah. And, you know, we've got great support network. My mum and dad will have him, and he just runs, absolutely rules the roost at their house. But, you know, the great, your mum's brilliant with him. And it's that thing of, I feel really guilty. We both feel really guilty. I know it's going to sound weird coming from me because I've been away a lot, but when I'm away, he's with you, Rosie. So
you didn't feel bad, did you?
Well, no, because it's fine. He's with you. I keep saying Rosie because I'm pointing at you as if as if people think that I've just left my child with you, Giovanna. Right? When I'm away, Giovanna, he's with you.
Well, I am friend number two.
He's
well,
with the lads. You know. He's you and the lads.
Trust. Trust.
Yeah. So, but when leaving him with people again and again, like I've got to leave him with my mum and dad tonight, and then tomorrow night I've got a gig and I've got to leave him there again. And I let it really, gets on top of us. Like when he has to be with other people too much, even though it's fine, and I really miss him as well. But when he's with you, Rosie, I don't as much because it's kind of like he's with me when he's with you because
well,
it's exactly the same thing.
It's the other way around
unit.
As well.
Yeah.
But I think it's because we grew up with parents who were there all the time.
Oh, yeah, my mum and dad being away was
I can't remember.
Huge thing.
I can't remember my mum and dad not.
Don't think they ever left us, to be honest, no. Yeah. It wasn't a thing back then, was it? You didn't go for a night away, you know? He's only going to know that life.
Yeah, he's not
going to.
Yeah.
And he's only ever with grandparents. He's never with a stranger or, you know,
well,
it's only with family.
And how amazing that he gets to have that time where he's creating those bonds with the grandparents.
That's a really lovely word,
It's true. And that's you know what? He had me solidly.
Yeah.
For like most, he's had me for most
of
his life.
You, mate. You're old news.
I know.
Fed up of you.
I can tell you.
Daddy's in town now.
Yeah. That's true. Actually,
has your relationship with him changed?
Yeah, since I've got back, since the beginning of the year, I finished my last tour November last year, and I've been. Apart from now, I'm doing a little bit more, but I haven't really been away solidly since then at all. I've been with the odd little night, and we're probably a little best mates. Oh,
I'm like forgotten.
Really?
Totally forgotten, yeah. Only for like food and, you know, stuff like that.
It's
and
funny
cuddles.
Though, isn't it? Because I think like for you coming into your zone with Robin must have been quite alien, but then for Rosie to suddenly, now just, it's their zone.
I'm shunned.
Yeah.
I am shunned.
After
he
all
loves,
you've done.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
That where is the gratitude? Yeah. You know what I mean? I've given him everything. Everything.
Yeah, it is nice though. Yeah, I'm just put a little, you know, obviously
your little besties. It's very sweet.
Don't give me credit. Don't I sometimes when he's crying and he's saying he wants me to take him to bed? Don't I try and get you sometimes?
It's really sweet, but I'm like, mate, I've put him to bed.
She's not bothered.
I've banked my bedtimes.
Sometimes she'll go, mammy, take you to bed, and he goes, no, daddy, and she goes, no, mammy, and he goes, and she goes, fair enough, and I'm like, no, you got to go with mammy, and she's like, Chris, it's fine.
I'm always like, it's fine. I'll just go.
I know. You think you're like as if I'm upset.
I
I'm like,
I know. I just don't. I don't.
Tedious.
I don't want you to feel bad about it. Yeah.
I really don't. I've read them books.
Yeah.
Well, enough.
My heart sings when he wants me to just take him to bed. It's really nice.
Because he missed so much of you not taking him to bed.
Yeah.
You know.
It's class. We'll go to bed. Read a little story. We'll sit and slag her off. It's
I bet you're doing all.
It's when he's asleep, I just whisper it in his ear. Did you notice that broccoli was slightly undercooked that she gave you today, Robin? She doesn't love you.
She wouldn't let you have. Yeah. She wouldn't let you have that lolly.
Daddy would let you eat two Easter eggs. Good night. It's really creepy, that. I heard that in my own headphones. I creeped myself out.
All right.
Rosie, how has your relationship with your body changed since becoming a mum? Because you said you put 5 stone on while pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think from my upbringing, my relationship with my body was quite a strange one because I always knew my mum was on a diet or they were being fed, the word fat was thrown around so much. Yeah. Like, you're always looking at yourself going, oh, what am I meant to like, not like? And then your body changes and then whatever you're left with afterwards.
The sack. The baby sack. It's a funny one for me because growing up, I used to swim when I was younger, so I was always really little. And then I was a singer-dancer, so I didn't ever have to exercise because I did it as my job. So it wasn't until I had Robin that I really put... I was always kind of like a size 8 to 10. Right. Not massive. I always kind of thought I could be thinner, you know, even though I look at pictures and feel physically sick at how lush I was. But no, and then when I put on 5 stone and I lost 4 stone, I mean, gosh, probably put it back on now, but I weirdly...
Sorry, definitely haven't.
No, not 5 stone. I lost the 5 stone though, didn't I? And then I think I've put about a stone. I don't know. I haven't been on the scales. Weirdly, I'm possibly the most confident I've ever been in my whole life now. Mm. Because I think even though your body changes massively when you have a baby, having a child, being a mother, gives you a confidence like I've never known in my whole life. Everything changes. Nothing looks the same. Not even my feet. Like, my feet are different. It's weird.
What's happened to your feet?
They're just different, G. I can't explain it. They're just different. Like, wrinklier. Like, not as moist.
You sound suspicious of your own feet.
They're just dry.
Someone's changed them.
They're just really dry. Like, what my mum... Like, you know when you're growing up and my mum's always had really dry feet? Bless her, she's beautiful, but she's got dry... Just, like, she. I remember she used to file them over the bath and that. That's me now. Like, I've got to file my feet. Dry as sticks. Put my tan on and it goes in the creases.
My mum's always had dry feet. What an amazing sentence. When I grew up, my mum always had dry feet. You could hear her coming down the hall like sandpaper.
Like a little dog.
My mum's always had dry feet.
But now, no, because I'm a mum now and I've got really dry feet. And I never had dry feet. They were lovely.
My feet were soaking all the time. I had trench foot.
moist as the day is long.
I was honest. People would always say to me, are you constantly standing in a paddling pool? Because your feet. Honestly, that is the weirdest thing that anyone's ever said.
I'm trying to think of bits that are really different.
What has motherhood given you? Dry feet.
Dry feet. Dry feet.
Light a match on these feet now.
So, with your dry feet.
Yeah.
We actually end each episode of the podcast with you completing 3 sentences.
Okay.
So I'll start a sentence and you finish it.
Right.
So for you, like, being a mum means
everything and more.
Being a dad means
whatever she said.
No,
I think that.
Can we not think of any better than that?
If you look deeper into that, being a dad means providing, protecting, and
dry feet,
moisturising your wife's feet. Could you not have emailed these before?
I'm terrible at these.
Since having children, I
have got really dry feet. They're so dry. Since having children, I am less selfish. A lot less selfish. Mm. Yeah.
Since having children, I?
More selfish to address the balance in the household. I've discovered who I am. I know who I am now, weirdly, from after having a kid. I've always wondered what kind of person I am, who I am, who I want to be. And I feel more me than ever. And I think it's off having Robin.
Oh, God, your answers are loads better than mine. Ask him first.
You've gone to
comedy. I know, haven't I? Oh,
right. I don't want to rub it in as well. My answers are better and my feet are so... moist.
They actually are. They are. God.
And finally, I'm happy when. Chris, you can start this one.
I'm happy when. Oh, she's going to slag us up. When I'm with me family.
Aww,
with my wife.
That's lovely.
Thank you. I thought you were going to slag us off.
No, why would I?
Nah,
I'd rather you would be with our family than another family.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
Only
so
sometimes.
I didn't mean you, I meant my other family.
Oh, yes.
I'm with them with
the other ones.
When I'm with my family.
I would say the same.
I'm unhappy when my wife copies my answers. Is me unhappy.
Okay, I'm happy when Chris is away.
No, you can be. You can be. You're allowed.
No. I'm happy when we are all together as a family.
Fist bump.
Oh, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
It's been a joy.
It's been everything and more.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much.
Like your answer. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.